writing. Well,
let's hit some essentials about God guiding us. And so I would like for us to look at Colossians chapter 3. Would somebody like to read verse 15 out of your Bible, please?
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful.
Okay. So what are we to do with the peace of Christ?
Let it rule.
Let it rule. Okay, now, some of you might have margins in your Bible, that little middle section that has little side notes. And that word rule in the Greek language, you know, something you, if you don't know this, you probably should know it, that the Old Testament was written in what original language?
Hebrew.
Hebrew, thank you. And the New Testament was written in Greek. Very good. So the Greek word for rule actually means to umpire. To umpire. Okay, so let's say you go to your grandkids' baseball game in the summer, or your kid's baseball game. What does an umpire do? He makes calls, doesn't he? You're either what or you're what? You're safe or you're out. Right? So, not unlike what an umpire does in a game, this is what that word rule means in Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule, or we could say let the peace of Christ call the shots where?
In our hearts.
So let's read it like that. Let the peace of Christ call the shots in your heart. Okay, so if we're allowing God's peace, the peace of Christ, to rule or call the shots, then what will I be led by in all circumstances when it comes to God's guidance and God speaking to me? The Holy Spirit, yes, but in context of what we just read, what element, what fruit of the Spirit?
Peace.
Notice this, point number one, when it comes to God speaking to us, God does not speak through alarm, God does not speak through fear, God does not speak through chaos, He always, always, always speaks through
peace.
Always. What was the angel telling Mary when he appeared to her, the angel Gabriel?
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Right? Peace. To Joseph, the same. Peace. To the shepherds, do not be afraid. I come in.
Peace.
God is a God of?
Peace.
Peace. Right? So if I'm going to be led by the Lord, if the Lord's going to talk to me, He's going to talk to me through what fruit of the Holy Spirit?
Peace.
So that when I sense the voice of God, it will always leave me peaceful. Some people say, well, you know, I got this impression in my heart, or I felt the stirring by the Spirit in my heart, but I don't know if it's of the Lord or not. Well, let me ask you one very simple question. Is there a lingering peace to it? And if there's a lingering peace to it, it is of Christ. It is of God. Peace. Very simple. I'm going to break it down so simply, you probably think I'm so dumb. Peace is what leads us. Okay? So we have to establish that. We have to understand that is so true. Another element in the book of Proverbs, there's a verse of scripture that's, I think it's Proverbs chapter 16, that we make our own plans, but the Lord orders our steps. How many of you have encountered that? That you made certain plans in a certain day, and the certain day did turn out like you had planned, but you know that God was somehow directing your steps unbeknownst to you. You didn't know that it was God until something mountain moving happened, and you look back and you said, the Lord had His hand on me today. Not that He doesn't have His hand on us any other day, but it was more evident to us that God's hand was on us. You know, back 6 years ago when I was running the Boston Marathon and we were stopped a half a mile before the finish line, it happened to me. I had my plans. I had a certain time goal that I wanted to finish the race in. And by the way, that course is brutal. It is. I mean, just running any 26.2-mile course is tough. The Boston Marathon is the toughest. No question. I have my goal, but then I see all these runners stopping. I see all these police in kind of full dress mode. And I asked, yeah, I was beside myself. It was the first marathon that I've ever run that it was stopped. And so I asked a spectator on kind of a little knolly, a knoll, and I said, hey, because he was up at it, he had an advantage on the slope, he was up, and I said, hey, why are they stopping the runners? Because it was heading down, and he had a better vantage point to see what was going on. He looked at me as if he, and the way he looked at me was weird. He looked at me as if he saw right through me, and he said, I heard two explosions. I didn't hear the explosion because the roar, the crowd, Bostonians are fanatic about the Boston Marathon. Oh, my goodness. So the people are fanatic. There was a loud roar of cheers, and then I didn't hear the explosions. The guy told me he was befuddled, and he said, I heard two explosions. Right then, I knew something had gone wrong. And then moments later, there was this lady crying out, one of the runners, and she said that her sister, her twin sister, had run the race, but that she was closer to the finish line, and this lady was beside herself. She was inconsolable. She collapsed to the floor. She was pounding the floor, and I thought, well, you know, I'm thinking to myself, Joe, you're a minister. Might as well go, you know, serious. I was tired. Can you imagine running that long? I was just emotionally exhausted. My body was give out. And I thought, Lord, my prayer at that moment was, Lord, you got to give me strength to help this lady. Long story short, you know, she gave me the phone number of her sister. Well, I carried my phone with me during that race to take photos with me and such. I called her, and the sister was safe, and she was a little more at peace. And I remember her words so clear as if it was just yesterday. She didn't call me pastor. She called me minister. She said, minister. Can you please pray for me? And I said, of course, let's pray. So, you know, that was just, any of you guys gone fishing and fish just jump into your boat? That was one of those situations. You know, I knew that at that moment, looking back, the Lord had placed me in that place at that time. You know what I'm saying? The Lord had ordered my steps. It, you know, when that happened, I thought, I was still mad at the end of the day because I didn't know what God was up to. I did not finish with my medal. I had trained for weeks. And it's not easy getting into the Boston Marathon. Can I get a witness? That's a rough qualifying time. But I was mad, you know, that all other guys got to get their medal. Well, two days from then, I was contacted by one of my Facebook friend's friends. She was a reporter for Charisma Magazine. And she contacted me. She said, hey, our mutual friend posted on her wall that you were involved, and she gave me your information. I hope that's okay. I said, sure. And she said, can I do a story about you? I said, sure. You know, if my little deal there, helping that lady help, you know, well, I didn't know that was going to make it online, go virtual online. And then a day after that, Christian Broadcasting Network, that which broadcasts worldwide, they called me and they said, we want to do a segment on you. Well, they did the segment. That went worldwide. And then a couple days later, I got a phone call from halfway across the world in Australia. There was a radio station that reaches all of the continent of Australia. And they said, we'd like to do an interview with you. And it didn't stop there. That was wave one. The Christian world got a hold of it. Then the secular world got a hold of that experience. Little did I know, I was so mad that I didn't get a silly medal. And God had something bigger by ordering my steps. Come on, somebody. Amen. Who feels me? God had something much bigger. God was thinking, hey, I want to use that little Mexican guy and see if we can give him a worldwide platform. And this little Mexican guy was bummed that he didn't get his medal. A dumb medal. Call me Doubting Thomas. But anyway, and so that was wave one. Wave two was SportsCenter did a segment on me. ABC Sports did a segment. People all over the country were calling me for interviews. And then And then a month after that, there was the Indianapolis 500. Well, they did a special thing for the people who could not finish the Boston Marathon. They put us on turn four of the Indianapolis Speedway so that we could finish, and you know, symbolically finish for half a mile. And we ran it, and there were so many media outlets. There was the Huffington Post, there was Chicago Tribune, the New York Times, the Washington, did I say Washington Post? There was USA Today, all these that did stories, and they used a photo with me in it. They just used it back in December of 2018. Again, this was the Daily Caller online. So, you know, why do I make that point? Because when God orders your steps, you never know how far-reaching your impact will be. I thought, and I remember telling my spouse at the time, I didn't do anything that, and I'll tell you guys, I didn't do anything that you wouldn't have done. I didn't do anything special. You guys would have laid aside your weariness. You would have prayed with that lady. You would have used your means, and I also try to use other means to help other people. You know, I didn't do anything special, but God said, I'm going to order steps. I'm going to get this person to the right place at the right time so that I may do my work. How many of you believe that God is able to do that? Amen? Amen. God does that. So he orders our steps is point number two. Point number one is, what fruit of the Spirit does God use when he speaks to us?
Peace.
And number two, he orders our steps. Okay? He uses circumstances. Number three, he uses circumstances. I won't be able to hit all of them. There's no possible way I can hit all of them. But God uses circumstances. You know, I remember when I resigned from the church after my divorce that I didn't want, I had many conversations with God. And I said, God, if you don't want me to preach ever again, I'm good with that. I gave my life to Jesus Christ to be a follower. I didn't give my life to Jesus Christ to be a minister. So I'll be your follower, God. I said, no matter what, you don't have to give me a platform again. And, you know, I was happy with that. I mean, would I have liked to have ministered again? I think that's where my main gift lies. That's a calling on me. So, but anyway, a couple of months after that, you know, I'd say about 7 months after that, one of my friends that was a former coworker at a previous job that was non-ministerial, she said, hey, I work at this facility now, and they're looking for a pastor to come speak on weekends because this nursing home has tried to reach out to the community pastors, and no one wants to step up, and they're willing to pay X amount of dollars. And I thought, wow, that is handsome pay just to speak on Sundays. And so they want me to come into the office. I never sought that job out. Because I even told the Lord, I'm not going to seek anything out. You have got to open some door. And the circumstances presented themselves. The lady invited me to call this other person, the administrator of that facility. I called the administrator and said, please come in. We need you to fill out an application, and we'll have your W-2 ready for you to sign. And I was like, wow. And I ministered there for 6 months. And can I say something just for the glory of God? There was one of the residents that coordinated with the administrator, and there was, out of 6 months, there was probably only two Sundays that the whole room, and it was about sanctuary big, was not packed with residents wanting to hear the word of God.
Amen.
That was all God's doing. I cannot take any credit for that. He opened doors. Listen to the words of Jesus in the book of Revelation. God opens doors which no man can shut or close, right? And he shuts doors which no person can open. And, you know, after the 6 months, that door closed. And I thought, I was a little bummed because I was thinking, man, we're making some headway. You know, we have this place packed. There were even not only people that were residents there, there were family members that would come and sit. There were employees of that facility that would come and sit to hear the word of God. Wow. And but the Lord closed the door. You know, I just had to say, okay, Lord, that was just for a season. And then another door opened for me to do some pulpit supply in a neighboring town there by Lincoln. And so I just kind of went with the wave, you know, because God uses circumstances, right? Amen? Can we look at a scripture real quick? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In some circumstances, God will give you the choice whether you want to walk through the door or not. Did you know that? That in some circumstances, God will give us the choice whether to walk through the door or not. Who would like to read? Is it okay if I have you read it instead of just me reading it? That way you can see that I'm not making this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And verse 13, please.
Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia.
Macedonia. Thank you. So the Lord had opened a door for Paul in Troas, right? To preach Christ there, but Paul didn't have peace because he couldn't find whom? Who was he looking for there?
Titus.
And then he said, well, instead of walking through that door, what did Paul say? Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Right? So, see, it's clear. Some doors the Lord will give us the choice. It's not like a matter of obedience or disobedience, a matter of here's an open door. Do you want to walk through it or not? Right? Does that make sense? Is this too simple? It's our free will. Exactly. Thank you, Ms. Jean. All righty. So God uses that. Let's talk about number four, the still small voice. The still small voice. Who would like to turn, just one person turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, please.
The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly.
Very good. The spirit of man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. And what does God use to speak to us with? Our spirits. The spirit of man or woman is the candle of the Lord. A lot of people say, well, Joe, I hear people say that God speaks to them, but when I look to see God speaking to me, it sounds a lot like me. Well, God uses your spirit to speak to you, right? Isn't that what it says? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, illuminating all the inner parts of our being. So sometimes when you hear the still small voice, it might sound in our minds, in our hearts, like our voice, but it truly is, the wisdom of it is the voice of God. How do we know? How many of you have ever had a thought that was so profound you knew that you could not on your own come up with that wisdom? I could raise both hands to that. I'm like, wow, that is good. Thank you, Jesus. You know, like one time, is it okay if I illustrate some of these things? So you know that I've lived through this and have had to. I remember one time when I was in college, there was a chick that I was really interested in, and I had romantic feelings for her, but she lived in Dallas, Texas. I must be a sucker for long-distance relationships, Ms. Nola. I'm telling you what. I don't like women nearby. No, there's too many gossipers and rumors. I like just out of town. I was in Oklahoma and she was in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, I was praying about it. And I really felt, it sounded like my voice, but the wisdom of it, it said this. I had this still small voice tell me, be the best friend you could possibly be to her. You know what that did to me? It relieved me of all romantic pressure. And I, from that point on, I thought just to be her best friend. And I remember I consulted with some friends that I, you know, trusted their wisdom and their walk with the Lord. And they were all quibbling whether it was the Lord or not. And one other friend comes up and he says, any which way you slice it, that is pretty good wisdom. Be somebody's best friend that they could possibly have. You see the godly wisdom in that? Amen. So it removed my emotions out of that equation when the Lord said, be the best friend she could possibly have. Just a friend. So it sounded a lot like me, but the wisdom was from him. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't want to be as clear as muddy water. What was that, number four? Mm-hmm. Okay, what about number five, impressions, nudges? Nudges and impressions. Who all has ever had a desire or a sense of urgency to pray for somebody else? And maybe by praying for them, you found out down the road that they needed prayer at that moment. I've had that happen. I've had the Lord fill me in on, you know how I started kind of flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I would just pray for people. I remember I was a 17-year-old kid, and I was praying for people. I would pray for my friends. And it's funny because when I would pray, I started getting these impressions, these nudges about the people I was praying for. And I would go up to my friends, and I'd consult with them, hey, is this going on in your life? And they'd be like, I haven't told a soul. What was that? That's the Holy Spirit nudging. Some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know. You got to trust it. You have nothing to lose, right? We have nothing to lose. Well, what if I fall flat on my face, Joe? Well, then we're fools for Christ, aren't we? I'm a fool for Christ. I want to remain a fool for Christ. Who wants to be a fool for Christ? Amen. Thank you. So nudges, you know, impressions, desires. God uses desires, the desire to do good to somebody else. How many of you believe that God uses desires to help somebody else, to be a blessing to somebody else? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to visions and dreams. That's number six. Why does God speak to us in our dreams? Because that's when we're quiet. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about God not being able to get a word in edgewise because we're constantly talking, or our thoughts are, we overthink everything. You know, can I encourage us? I think one of the biggest deterrents to our listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And how often does when does the Holy Spirit speak from this morning? What did we learn? He speaks when? Today. Oh. Today he speaks. The Father spoke, the Son has spoken, right? And the Spirit speaks today. All of God in all possible time dimensions. Wow, that's just profound. So the Spirit speaks, and sometimes he uses dreams because we're still. Who has ever had a dream that encouraged you or gave you peace about something that troubled you when you were awake? Did you? Right. God uses dreams. That's not to say that all the dreams you dream are of God. Let me be clear about that. Some of them are your subconscious mind trying to process events, right? And things. And sometimes the enemy could plant dreams in your head to scare you spitless. Who has ever woken up in the middle of the night and thought, thinking your dream was real, and you're thinking, what am I going to do now? And you're thinking, wait, it's just a dream. Oh my gosh. Who's ever been there? I've been there. Oh my gosh. That was just a dream. Thank you, Lord. I'm not in prison. Thank you, God. I kid you not. I'm not in prison. So, thank God for that. Those are dreams. I can share dreams that I think I've had from the Lord, but that's not of note necessarily. So let's talk about visions, okay? Visions. There are three types of visions, three manifestations of visions. The most profound one, the most spectacular one, is when God suspends a person's physical faculties. And he shows them, God takes them into the spiritual world. And, you know, let me give you an example. It's called a trance. A biblical term for that is called, hello, who is this calling? The biblical word is called a trance. You know, in Acts chapter 10, Peter fell into a what? Trance. Peter fell into a trance. And God showed him in heaven this sheet coming down, right? Metallic sheet with all these unclean animals. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That was a vision in the most profound manner, because Peter was on top of the roof praying, but his body was there, but his spirit was out. The Lord took him to heaven to show him that. How do I know that? If that's kind of what happens? Well, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as well. When Paul said, he said, I was caught up in the third heaven. Whether I was out of the body, I don't know. Maybe I was in my body or out of the body, I don't know. That's what Paul, who remembers that verse of scripture? So that's called a trance, when the Lord says, you know, we don't need your body now, I just need your spirit, I want to take you. That's what happened to the Apostle John in the Isle of Patmos. That's how he got the book of Revelation. God just took him to heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, God tells John, come up here. John's raptured, and all of a sudden, he's in heaven. So that's a trance, right? Can we all say trance? Is this fascinating? Is this interesting? Okay. Number two is called an open vision. An open vision. Who all can see me now? Miss Nola, do you see me a little clearer? No?
If I wink, I can see.
Even as you're seeing me, God will open your physical eyes, and you'll see entities into the spiritual world that are real, but you're seeing them like you see me now with your physical eye. Chapter and verse, what about, was it Elisha with Gehazi, the servant? And the Lord, you know, Gehazi was saying, no, we're outnumbered, and God, the Lord, Elisha, I think, was it Elisha or Elijah? Elisha? He said, Lord, open his eyes. And all of a sudden, he saw all these chariots of fire. Wow. Just with his physical eyes. Does that still happen today? You don't have to go very far. You can ask some of the Muslims that are having dreams about Jesus, or Jesus is appearing to some of the Muslims and telling him that he is the Savior of the world and not Allah. And they're getting saved. So that's an open vision. When you see spiritual entities, whether it's a demon or an angel, people have seen angels with their physical eyes. Or some people, I once talked to a gal that was once in my church, my previous church, and she said when she was a little girl, she saw Jesus' face in the clouds, like she's seeing everybody. She was seeing everybody in that cloud. She said, I saw, as a little girl, she said she ran in and was scared. And I said, she never told anybody, and she said, I just don't know why Jesus would do that. I said, you know, sometimes we don't always, Jesus doesn't always do things with a purpose. He does do things for a purpose, but not always. Sometimes he just wants to reach out and say, I'm here. Who all believes that Jesus just wants to say, I'm watching over you, you're good. And then there's the third one, there's the trance, there's the open vision, then there's the spiritual vision. Spiritual vision. And I've had those. That's when your eyes might be closed or your eyes might be open, but in your mind's eye, it's not that you see it with your physical eye, in your mind's eye, you see things that you know were beyond your imagination. Several years ago, this is a little hard for me to tell because it really rocked my world in a good way when I saw this vision. I was at a pastor's conference back home in El Paso, and they were singing one of Hillsong's songs, and it's, you know, I think the title of that song is You Will Come, You'll Come. Darlene Check used to sing it. And the chorus basically goes, chains be broken, lives be healed, eyes be opened, Christ is revealed. And so I'm just standing there in the front row and just worshiping, had my eyes closed. And when the chorus hit, I had my eyes, my hands raised to the Lord, and I had my eyes closed. Chains be broken. As I'm seeing this, immediately I have a vision. My eyes are closed. I can't see with my physical eyes, but I saw, and more than saw, I experienced. All of a sudden, I saw Jesus in front of me. But you couldn't make out his specific features because there was so much glory and brightness. And, sorry if I get choked up, this is hard. The molecules on the air were charged with his divine authority. Everything was, it seemed like all the oxygen was filled with the authority of Christ. And behind it was the softness of his mercy. It was, so when I experienced that, it broke something in me. I just began to weep. I was, here I am standing, singing, and I'm just weeping like a little baby, weeping, weeping. Because how many of you know that if you're really standing in front of the risen and glorified Christ, we will be turned to a puddle of tears. How many of you believe that? And I was worshiping, and then all of a sudden I saw these chains, these very big, thick, iron cast chains. And here's the interesting part about these chains. Though they're an inanimate object in the vision, they were real. They had animation. They were alive. These chains were. And to me, as soon as I saw that in this vision, I knew that those represented bondages that were powerful in people's lives. But as soon as these chains came in contact with the authority of the Lord Jesus, they just disintegrated. Jesus didn't even have to speak to them. Jesus didn't even have to acknowledge them. Just by being merely in the presence of the glorified Jesus, they were gone. I remember a couple days after getting on a plane to head home, and it just welled up again in me. It just, this whole sensation that whatever the Lord did to me that night at that church service that had pierced me, it just welled up again. I began to weep, and I was having a hard time holding it in. I was glad I had a window seat in the airplane because I could just look out and just weep. Because how many of you know that Jesus is alive? And sometimes when we come in contact with that authority, who can stand in the presence of the glorified Christ? Can any of us stand? Wow. Now, why do I share that, church family? Because this stuff is real. I don't say that to scare you. It's just that whole vision. Before I had that vision, I had a two-dimensional perspective of Christ. I think after that vision, I'm convinced I have a much fuller perspective of Jesus, a more of a three-dimensional, four-dimensional perspective. Okay? So how many, can I ask a question? And if you don't, that's cool with me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. How many of you believe in dreams and visions? How many of you believe in, okay, so can I encourage you with something? You know, everybody would love to have a spectacular vision. Everybody would love, but don't forfeit the supernatural in looking after or looking for the spectacular. Does that make sense? We can't dictate to God how he's going to speak to us and when he's going to speak to us. Can I get a resounding amen in that? He's going to speak to us the way he sees fit to speak to us, right? And let's just be happy with, if he chooses to use peace, then be happy with that. Amen? All right, well, I want to close real quick since it's already 7. If you have any pain in your body, you know, we're going to do kind of the same thing that we did a couple of weeks ago. If you'll allow me to pray for you, lay hands on you. You know, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then verse 16 says, and 17 goes on to say, you shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Okay, let me share with you, God heals one of three ways, okay? Just to clear the air, just be always upfront with you. God heals instantly. Everybody wants to be healed instantly. Who decides that? Do we decide that? God decides that. Some people are healed, number two, gradually. And number three, for reasons unknown to me, unknown by me. Some people don't get healed till they get to heaven. Right? But just because they don't get healed till they get to heaven, should we stop praying for the sick? I've seen too many miracles. I've seen too many, God do too many good things in his people's lives and in other people's lives that it's just been astounding. So if you don't mind, let me just pray and then I'll clear this path here. So if you need prayer, just stand in line. You don't need to tell me what you need prayer for unless you want to, and that's totally fine. But But let's do that. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to come before you and to talk about profound mysteries that are found in all in your word, Lord, that that really speak of your ways that are higher than our ways. And Lord, they speak of your sovereignty, and they speak of your magnificence, of your glory, of your being, of all that you are. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus right now for your Holy Spirit's presence to be felt by everybody. Lord, for people to be open in their minds and in their hearts to receive a miracle, to receive a breakthrough. Jesus, we pray for signs and wonders to abound, to proliferate here. And to you, Jesus, and you alone, be all the glory. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, let's do that if you're okay with that. If you have any needs physically that you would like prayer for, believing God to perform a miracle, please come forward at this time. Okay, we're not going to do anything out of the norm, razzle-dazzle. We're just going to, in the name of Jesus, to honor him, to glorify him, and to expect miracles. We'll do that, okay? Let me turn off my mic. All right, let's pray. Precious Lord, I give you thanks for this precious sister. I thank you, Father, for giving her your peace. Fill it with peace. Remove anxiety. Remove anxious thoughts. Father, I release the anointing upon her physical body for her healing. I pray for joints in Jesus' name to be healed. Lower back to be healed. Knees to be healed. Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for arthritis to be healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for Ms. Karen as well. I pray, Lord God, for supernatural breakthrough, for your healing, Lord, upon her. We release the anointing of God by faith. I glorify you, Lord Jesus. You're the healer. You and you alone. Give her peace, Lord, as well. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for Ms. Norma. Thank you for Ms. Norma. Thank you for ministering to her, Lord. Father, filling her with joy. Filling her with joy. Father, breaking through physical pain. And also emotional pain. I sense there's emotional pain here. And Jesus, just touch her. Just untie what burden she carries in her heart and her mind. Lord, just touch her. Untie that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for healing. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, ladies. Can I just go on in this flow? I feel like God's not done touching the people, and I won't have to call anybody forward. Wait, I turned off mine. Is it okay if I leave it off, or do you want me to? I feel like God's not done, so if we can just wait and pray, is that okay, guys? And I won't call anybody out, I won't call anybody forward, but what I'll do is I'll call needs out that God is healing in you, okay? So let's just close our eyes, let's just stand before the presence of the Lord, or sit before the presence of the Lord. I really sense the Holy Spirit's presence here. Does anybody else sense the Holy Spirit's presence here? I sense such a covering, like a blanket of snow that is peaceful and powerful. I feel the weight of his presence upon my heart. Lord God, thank you for touching. There's someone here with very bad back problems. And and the Lord's going to heal you of those back problems. He's healing you now. You might feel a warm sensation. You feel like somebody is, the pain feels like needles, like a sharpness that goes up and down your back. The Lord is removing that from you right now. There's someone carrying grief in your heart right now. And Jesus tells you, you know, come unto me, all you who are burdened and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Roll over your grief on him. The burden. Some of you are blaming yourself for something that happened in the past. You won't let go of that self-blame. The Lord Jesus says, I forgive you. Be loosed, be free. You're forgiven. You're no longer guilty in God's eyes. You're no longer guilty of that sin. And Lord, some of us, since people have here loved ones in mind as well, that they're thinking, I wish they so-and-so could be here to be touched by the Lord. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for their loved ones. I pray, God, for relational stress. Lord, when relationships are seemingly coming apart at the seams, Lord, I pray for intervention. I pray for reconciliation. I pray for love, and I pray for peace and your intervention upon them. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering in ways you know how to, Lord, whether I call the need out or not. Believe, Jesus, you're ministering to people right now. And friends, nobody looking around. Please, nobody looking around with your eyes closed, head bowed. If you are here tonight and you feel like crying, just let it out. Why do I say that? Sometimes the Holy Spirit touches us in the depths of our soul, and sometimes we just need to let the tears flow. Let that burden be released through tears. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you so much for allowing me that privilege. Really, it really is a privilege. How many of you feel that tonight was special, that God did something? Thank Amen. You so much. Amen. And Ms. Sheila, he did it with a guy in awesome jeans. I'm playing, sweetie. I'm just having fun with you. Did you want to say something, Ms. Norman? No? Okay, I won't put you on the spot. All right, what do we do? Just close? We're free to fellowship? You're free to fellowship.